The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the January-February issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we're going to go to our Who's Who section, page 8, bottom line, Celine Boutier, LPGA Tour. At the Evian Championship in July, by the way, Celine is, her height is 5'4". She was born November 10th, 1993, her hometown, Clermont, France. At the Evian Championship in July, Boutier won her first career major, shooting 4 under par to win by 6 strokes. The next week, she won the Scottish Open, and her world ranking improved to number 3. Boutier's fourth and final win of the season came at the Maybach Championship, which she won after a 9-hole playoff. Did you know the longest playoff in LPGA history at the 1972 Corpus Christi Civitan Open lasted 10 holes? Sam Coffey, Portland Thorns midfielder, her height, 5'6". She was born December 31st, 1998, hometown Sleepy Hollow, New York. For the second straight season, Coffey was named to the NWSL Best 11 after leading the league with 8 assists. In 2022, she was a finalist for the league Rookie of the Year award as she helped the Thorns to the championship. That same year, Coffey also made her USWNT debut, collecting 4 caps. In college at Penn State, she was a 3-time All-Big Ten honoree. But did you know the Thorns are the only NWSL team to win 3 league titles? And finally, we have Chet Holmgren. His height is 7'1". His weight is 195 pounds. He was born May 1st, 2002, hometown Minneapolis, Minnesota. He played for the Oklahoma City Thunder, and he's a forward. After missing the entire 2023 season with a foot injury, Holmgren, the top pick in the 2020 draft, made his NBA debut in October. In his second game against Cleveland, he had a double-double, 16 points, 13 rebounds, and added 7 blocks. Holmgren was a second-team All-American in his only season at Gonzaga. Did you know? Since 2011, 2 top overall picks missed their first season with injuries, Blake Griffin and Ben Simmons. Both went on to be named Rookie of the Year. Warm-up, hot take. Welcome to the Dark Ages by Kip Shoremore. Tom Brady created a stir last November when he told Stephen A. Smith, "I think there's a lot of mediocrity in today's NFL. First off, Tom, pops bro, an athlete of your stature doesn't need to say anything controversial to become a media personality. But you've come out of the gate firing with a hot take worthy of this magazine. If you ever want to pen a guest column, I'd be happy to take an issue off. Secondly, I believe you. People have painted Brady as yet another middle-aged retiree complaining about how things were better back in his day. The difference, however, between Tom Brady and every other 46-year-old former quarterback is that Brady was beating those kids on the field just a year ago. So let's take Brady seriously. In 2019, the cover of this very magazine declared, "Sorry, grown-ups, the golden age is now," with an image of Stephen Curry, Serena Williams, Simone Biles, and Brady as marble and gold statues. Brady and Williams have retired. Biles and Curry are probably in the back half of their careers. Has a new crop of stars risen to replace them? I don't think so. Look at the NFL. Around the time Brady made his statement, first-year starters Sam Howell and C.J. Stroud were pacing the league in passing yards. That suggests a bright future for the Commanders and Texans. But what does it say about the rest of the league that two newbies were leading a category once dominated by Brady, Peyton Manning, and Drew Brees? Brady, Manning, and Patrick Mahomes became the first passer to throw 50 touchdowns in a season in the prior two decades. When the GOAT growled, No Valley was on pace to break 40 this season. The NBA seems a few years away from a similar situation. LeBron James has the NBA's only pre-1985 birthday, but he's still crossing over players born in the 21st century. It's a testament to the King's greatness. But maybe it reflects a decline, too. Lionel Messi, 36, edged out a bunch of guys in their early 20s to win last year's Ballon d'Or. Brady blamed modern rule for teaching NFL players bad habits. Pass interference and roughing the passer penalties have gotten stricter. They incentivize quarterbacks to hang in the pocket longer and throw deeper balls, hoping it'll get their receiver and a defensive back tangled up. Similar trends exist in other leagues. How many times have James Harden awkwardly jumped into a defender trying to draw a cheap foul? Modern baseball players love to swing wildly, hoping for the all-important home run. On the other hand, there are a handful of do-it-all athletes redefining their games, like Giannis Antetokounmpo and Shohei Ohtani. It's tough to weigh the singular statistical achievements of a player like Ohtani against the reality that he and every other modern pitcher will likely never reach 300 wins. I'm equivocating, though. I'm afraid to admit that there is no next LeBron James. Nobody in today's NHL is going to chase the all-time great record after Alexander Ovechkin takes it from Wayne Gretzky. Oh, no, we really are in a dark age. I can be philosophical about this situation, though. Down years can be fun. If you're the kind of fan who just roots for the best players, bummer. Try tennis. But for the rest of us who want to see our favorite player or favorite team have a chance, parity rocks. 10 different teams have a shot at the NBA Finals. And when it comes to a supposed golden or dark age in sports, the word age is a tad dramatic. Remember when I said SI Kids declared a golden age in 2019, just 5 years ago? The capital D, Dark Ages, supposedly lasted 10 centuries between the fall of Rome and the Renaissance. I don't think we'll have to wait 1,000 years for the Patriots to find another franchise quarterback. The Jets, on the other hand, Have you seen that off-parody meme that goes, hard times create strong people, strong people create good times create weak people create hard times? Well, I've got a new one for you. Bad sports create great columnists. Great columnists create hot takes. Hot takes create smart kids. Smart kids play good sports. February birthdays? February 11th, Diamond Miller of the Minnesota Lynx turns 23. On February 17th, American tennis star Madison Keys turns 29. The Chargers' Khalil Mack turns 33 on the 22nd. And on the 25th of February, Vancouver Canucks winger Brock Boeser turns 27. Reader engagement. Kip answers your letters. Julius writes, Hi, Kip. I was thinking football should have a longer field because touchdowns are pretty common this year. Another idea is the NFL should have more defensive benefiting rules so games are closer and lower scoring. That could make the NFL more exciting to fans like me. This also will hopefully get rid of the offensive dynasties so games are less one-sided. Hi, Julius. Clearly, you are a discerning fan. Most kids just want more and more scoring, whatever the cost. But your thinking seems more in line with that of Tom Brady, page 9, who believes the offensive players are being coddled in today's NFL. Making the field longer is an interesting idea, and the league actually discussed it in 2019. It would make it harder to reach the end zone, though it might also increase the no man's land in the middle of the field where coaches are increasingly comfortable going for it on fourth down. Ultimately, the best way to encourage old-school smash-mouth football is to change the pass interference standard to allow defensive backs to be more aggressive. Not only will this result in fewer games being decided by flags, but it'll push offenses toward actually running the ball. Jack writes, in your opinion, why did Blake Snell win the National League Cy Young instead of Spencer Strider? Strider beat out Snell in every category except Snell's crazy ERA. And Snell had the most walks in Major League Baseball. Not only did Striker not get first, he did not get second or third, falling to Logan Webb and Zach Gallen. What are your thoughts on that? Jack, I feel your pain. Strider had a historic season in many ways, but just gave up way too many home runs and hits. Part of that maybe was bad luck. Certainly with a league-leading 99 walks and just 115 hits allowed, Snell seemed to have been bailed out by his defense a little bit. But things happen the way they happen. You can't knock Snell for enjoying good fielding any more than you can imagine the wind blowing a few homers back over the fence for Strider. The Cy Young Award doesn't have to automatically go to the lowest ERA, but 1.61 runs difference between them, that's too big a gap. Boston says, howdy. I feel like they should add a most clutch player award in the NFL like they recently integrated into the NBA. Would you agree? Who do you think would win it? Thanks, Boston. My brother suggested this. I just wanted to send it in. Great question, Boston. Boston's nameless brother. I'm always for more and more interesting awards. My only concern is that in league where MVP basically means best quarterback, this award would come to mean best quarterback on a team whose defense was bad enough to cough up the lead. Surprise, surprise. The NFL's all-time leader in fourth quarter comebacks is Tom Brady. He's got enough trophies. The NFL would need some kind of stat like baseball's win probably added to better discern with which non-passers are coming up in the clutch moments. When I think of clutch in football, after all, I'm thinking of a key pass breakup or a defensive lineman stuffing the running back on fourth down. I'm with Julius from the previous letter. Let's give the defensive player some love. Isaiah writes, I have both a complaint and a letter. You often talk about teams in big cities such as the New York Mets or the Yankees. However, I would like to see more talk about smaller towns, teams such as the Milwaukee Brewers. I get that the bigger teams have more things happening, but there are still plenty of things happening in smaller towns. Take, for example, Christian Watson. He has been a breakout receiver for the Green Bay Packers this season, and yet you haven't talked about him at all. So please, try to include smaller towns, teams in the magazine. Now, on to my letter. Why do you think NBA players are allowed to take two steps on shots and three on layups? In the NBA rulebook, it says that players are allowed to pivot on one foot on a shot or take two steps on a layup. Although I get that it makes for more exciting shots, if it's in the NBA rulebook, it should be called by refs. Isaiah, your complaint is duly noted and deserved, especially after we picked the Mets and Yankees to play in the World Series last year. A whiff worthy of this mistake's issue. I don't have time to profile Christian Watson in this space, but we'll make it up to you in September with our big NFL issue. Promise. As far as your question goes, I too wish refs enforced traveling consistently, but the upside is we get hilarious NBA traveling compilation videos on YouTube. Continuing with the great mistakes issue. Whoa, yeah, trouble with the snap. Usually in a college rivalry, whichever team won last has bragging rights. Sometimes, however, a loss is so embarrassing that it hangs over the matchup for years. Michigan had Michigan State dead to rights in the 2015. The Wolverines were up 2 points, punting with 10 seconds left. Basically, all they had to do was not fumble the snap so badly that the Spartans could recover it and run it in for a touchdown. On that play, about that, 100, too soon. Score first, celebrate later. Lindsay Jacobelli's fall in redemption. The USA's Lindsay Jacobelli was a sure gold medalist at the 2006 Winter Olympics in Turin. Right before she crossed the finish line in the snowboard cross final, however, she tried to grab her board in celebration and fell, allowing Tanja Friend of Switzerland to pass her. She won gold 16 years later in Beijing. Capital mistake. JaVale McGee is a good player who has made the occasional mental error. This tendency has led to his frequent appearances on the Shaqtin a Fool blooper reel and McGee's ensuing feud with Shaquille O'Neal. We don't want McGee mad at us too, so we're just going to focus on a specific mistake he made in February 2012 as a member of the Washington Wizards. Playing the Raptors, his team grabbed an offensive rebound, and McGee got back on defense. Oops. Steve Smith's bad birthday. From 1984 to 1988, the Edmonton Oilers won four out of the five Stanley Cups. The one they missed was 1986. In Game 7 of the Smythe Division Finals against the Calgary Flames, Oilers defenseman and birthday boy Steve Smith broke a 2-2 tie for Calgary. On the botched pass from behind his net, he banked the puck off goalie Grant Fuhr's leg into his own net. Ooh. Wrong way Regals. You never want to make a mistake so bad that it becomes your nickname. Just ask Wrong Way Roy Regals. The Cal center scooped up a fumble in the 1929 Rose Bowl and ran, well, you know. Georgia Tech scored a safety soon after and won 8-7. I learned you can bounce back from misfortune, Regals told the Pasadena Star years later. Miracle on the Meadowlands. One man's miracle is another man's mistake. With 31 seconds left in the game his team was leading, Giants quarterback Joe Pisarcik just needed to do anything other than what he did, fumbling a bizarre failed handoff attempt. The Eagles ran the ball back 26 yards for the win. Jackie Smith, Super Bowl drop. If the Cowboys player in the above photo looks like he's just collapsed, there's a reason why. With his team driving in Super Bowl 13, Cowboys tight end Jackie Smith dropped a short touchdown. Dallas settled for a field goal and ultimately lost the game by 4 points, 35-31. Smith, a future Hall of Famer, made no excuses. What if you make a mistake? It's fun to read about the pros' mistakes, but maybe it reminds you of a time you flubbed something. Dartmouth Sports Psychology Director Mark Hyatt has advice. Mistakes are part of learning and are participating in any sport at any level. It can feel bad if we make mistakes, but that is also a sign that we care and want to improve, which is a good thing. Pay attention to your self-talk, the inner voice we all have. For example, if you miss a shot in basketball, you may say to yourself, "That was a terrible shot. I stink." We can reframe that thought to something more productive like, "I missed that shot, but I'm going to keep practicing. And taking good shots, I know I'll hit the next ones." Productive thinking is focused on the present and what we can control in the situation. League-mandated mistakes. NBA's fake leather. In 2006, the NBA introduced a new basketball with a synthetic surface. Players complained so much it lasted until only December. Major League Baseball transfer rule. Major League Baseball took a page out of the NFL's book in 2014, clarifying what is a catch. The new rule, which dealt with drop transfers, confused everyone. We need to talk about Batman? Barman? Poor Steve Bartman. Bill Buckner became the face of the supposed curse of the Bambino in the Red Sox playoff drought when he let the ball roll between his legs. Cubs fan Steve Bartman similarly became the living embodiment of the curse of the Billy Goat when he interfered with Moises Alou's attempt to catch a foul ball during Game 6 of the National League Championship Series in 2003. It's only Bartman's fault, however, if you blame him for everything that came after. Alou not making the catch. A wild pitch, a flubbed over play by Alex Gonzalez below on the right. The 8 total runs they allowed that inning. Clearly, there were plenty of mistakes to go around. Michael Jordan quits to play baseball. His earnest decision to retire from the NBA and play pro baseball in 1984 is not well remembered. Still, driving in 51 runs in double-A ball is no easy feat. Super Bowl 57 blackout. It was supposed to be remembered for the matchup of John and Jim Harbaugh. Instead, this big game is infamous for the lights going out. Babe Ruth's sale ignites a rivalry. Speaking of the curse of the Bambino, how about the Red Sox owner's decision to sell the slugger to the Yankees in 1920, supposedly to finance a play? The Nationals have a spelling problem. Don't worry. Ryan Zimmerman, you didn't do anything to earn inclusion in this issue. We're focused on whoever left the O off your shirt. National League trapezoid in 2005, the NHL debuted new limits to where a goalie could go with the puck. It was clearly meant to punish Martin Brodeur for being skilled. Kickoff, fair catch. Why does the NFL even bother with kickoffs anymore? Mistakes that really weren't. Seahawks on the 1 yard line. Everyone knows that Pete Carroll totally blew Super Bowl 49 when he didn't have Marshawn Lynch run the ball from the 1 yard line. Instead, Russell Wilson tried to pass. Malcolm Butler picked him off. The rest is history. Hold a minute, though. You're going to tell us that the mistake here is the Seahawks not doing the one thing everyone with the possible exception of Malcolm Butler expected them to do? Offense is the NFL is all about showing the defense one thing, doing another. Besides, Lynch scored on just 1 of 5 runs from the 1 yard line all season. Not everything is a mistake. Sometimes the opponent just made a good play. Gruden for picks. The Raiders traded their coach John Gruden to the Buccaneers in 2002 for the 4 high picks in cash. Gruden won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay, but getting multiple first-rounders for a coach still seems smart. Basket catch. The Saints shocked the world when they opened the second half of Super Bowl 34 with an onside kick. Colts receiver Hank Basket was unable to field it. Indy fans weren't happy with Basket, but the Saints deserved most of the credit for the play. Elway boasts the Colts. Despite being synonymous with the Broncos, John Elway was actually drafted by the Baltimore Colts before spending his entire career in Denver, but he demanded out of Baltimore. Young goes west. The Buccaneers infamously traded future Hall of Famer Steve Young to the Niners, but would he have been a future Hall of Famer without years studying under Joe Montana and Bill Walsh? So, what did he learn? They say that you should learn 1984 Orange Bowl. If this were the controversial coaching decisions issue, Nebraska coach Tom Osborne's call at the end of 1984, Orange Bowl versus Miami, would be our lead story. After his team scored a touchdown late in the fourth quarter to bring it within 1 point of the Hurricanes, Osborne made the call to go for the 2-point conversion and the win instead of the 1-point kick in the tie. There was no overtime yet. While the tie would have made Nebraska's national champs, Osborne wanted a true 13-0 season and a definitive ending. He got one. Miami won the game and their first title. Osborne should be applauded for letting the team end on an exciting play with everything at stake, not a chip shot kick that resolves nothing. So, what did we learn? They say that you should learn from your mistakes. We see no reason you can't learn from the mistakes of others, too. And after reading these 12 pages, you basically have an advanced degree in errors. So what's the lesson? For one thing, the sheer volume of flubs covered here should make it clear that mistakes do happen to great players, to obscure players, to athletes in every decade in every conceivable situation. Furthermore, not all gaffes are the same. The goofs in which a player celebrated a score too early and had the ball taken away, hopefully you didn't need to live that nightmare to avoid it. But the mistakes that came from striving, those are mistakes worth making. To reiterate what the great one said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, and usually around 88% of the ones you do. Super firsts, page 46 and 47. With the NFL's biggest event happening during Black History Month, let's take a look back at some of the game's most significant trailblazing moments. Super firsts. Doug Williams, a champion at last. For years, Black quarterbacks were a rarity in the NFL, so much so that the first 21 Super Bowls featured all white players at the position. When Washington's Doug Williams led his team to Super Bowl 22, he faced a number of questions about his role in history, all of which he answered gracefully. When it finally came time to play, he showed how silly the stigma he and other Black players faced was, as his offense lit up the Denver Broncos for 35 points in the second quarter alone en route to a 42-10 win. Williams was named MVP, throwing for a then-record 340 yards. Four TDs thrown by Williams by the second quarter. Black QBs who started an opening day in 2020. 14 Black quarterbacks started in the opening day in 2022. Is the Jalen versus Patrick show. Super Bowl 57 in February 2023 was the first in which both starting quarterbacks were Black. Jalen Hurts, far left of the Eagles, and Patrick Mahomes, near left of the Chiefs, they staged an epic battle. Hurts ran for three TDs, while Mahomes three for three, and each completed more than 70% of their attempts as Kansas City won a barn burner 38-35. Coach off. After his Bears won the NFC title game after the 2006 season, making him the first Black coach to clinch a Super Bowl berth, Chicago's Lovie Smith Wright had his sights set higher. I'll feel even better to be the first Black coach to hold up the world championship trophy, he said. He wasn't, but history was still made in Super Bowl 51 a few hours after the NFC championship. Tony Dungy led his Colts to the AFC title when they met 2 weeks later. Indy came out on top 29-17. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.